Okay, so those of you who are just joining us, I'm speaking with Pastor Jose Humphreys, who is not only a pastor, but he's also a facilitator. And I tell you what, he really knows how to initiate meaningful conversation about life, and particularly the way that Christians can engage in that life. He has a book that's entitled Seeing Jesus in East Harlem, What Happens When Churches Show Up and Stay Put. And Pastor, you were talking with us about a common struggle. Could you tell us more about that?
Absolutely. Whenever we talk about embarking on multicultural, multi-ethnic ministry, we need to recognize that it is unnatural. It's an unnatural thing in a segregated city. So I live here in a city, and yet still segregation is pervasive across neighborhoods, whether it's through class or through race. People ride the New York City subway line, and you do have a diversity there. But just people, as we say, strap hanging, right? Mm-hmm. Standing next to each other, but not necessarily entering into conversations or even having fellowship, and maybe not even being mindful of the next person. So when we embark on multicultural, multi-ethnic ministry, we realize that we are, in many ways, by our mere presence in worship on Sundays, being a snapshot of what heaven is going to look like, if you think about it, right?
Don't lose your thought. I want to ask you this before we move too far away from it. You talked about something being unnatural. I just want to be clear. Which did you say is unnatural, to be segregated or something else?
Yeah, so this is a great question. I want to make sure that I'm being clear. To be in a multicultural, multi-ethnic ministry, mm-hmm. Goes against the grain of our society.
Gotcha.
So it's unnatural. Whereas whenever people embark on that journey of this divine togetherness, right, through reconciliation, through conversation, through breaking through racial and ethnic and cultural barriers, they in many ways are embodying what the kingdom of God is going to look like. Mm-hmm. And what even the book of Revelations points us to, in the end, in the book, where it says that many tongues and tribes and nations will be together and they'd be praising the Lord. And so whenever we embark on this kind of ministry, authentic multicultural, multi-ethnic ministry, where we're going into the hard conversations, where we're talking about how we might have different preferences for worship and worship styles and those kinds of things, when you're in the crucible of that struggle, you are in many ways being a sign of the kingdom, because people might look from the outside in and think, hey, those people don't belong together. Why are they together? Right? And it becomes this real snapshot of a divine kind of togetherness that doesn't always come naturally in our society. And considering our country's checkered history with racism and segregation and Jim Crow, even it's not natural and normal, the most normal thing even for our country, even in the 21st century.
Mm-hmm. So you all were having this conversation, as you said, you were showing a sign of the true kingdom, because I agree with you. There's so many references in scripture that make it clear that God's kingdom does indeed include all ethnicities, both genders, all age groups. And so it is so unnatural, though, to see that here, but yet that was a reality. That's been a reality for Metro Hope. Did that become a reality for Metro Hope before there was a Metro Hope, while you were in the early stages of planning? And secondly, related to that, how were you able to pull together this multi-ethnic group of people who would have these discussions?
Well, to the first question, it was a value that we began with. So diversity, multi-ethnicity in particular, were values that we began with. I had somewhat of an advantage. My wife is a professor at City University of New York at Staten Island, and she teaches diversity. And she's also done her PhD on cross-cultural conversations. We went in with of course, her skill, and then, of course, my my theological training and thinking about some of these things. And as you mentioned earlier, seeing where the scriptures connect to this truth and image of diversity. And so in our conversations, you know, we're carefully crafting questions, helping people through some of the disorientation and the discomfort that these conversations can kind of bring about. And in the midst of that, we found that people were experiencing healing. For example, there was one story of a young lady who was in our group, and she was undocumented, and she was trying. She actually was born in this country. Actually, she was born overseas, and she came into this country at 1.5 years old. And her story is she was basically American because she has been here. She had been here her whole life now, at the time being in her 20s. And she was trying to get the DREAM Act passed, which would allow folks like her to go to college, of course, with support. And when an Irish, the Irish Jesuit Catholic, our friend Tom, heard this story, he had known about the struggle of the undocumented, of the immigrant. But here it was in close proximity. And in that close proximity, God began to really move in his heart, and he began to not only become an ally for Angie, who I mentioned in the book, but also he was in relationship with someone that he could say that he was in common struggle with, that he would be there to support her. And really, when we talk about multi-ethnic, multicultural ministry, it goes beyond, as we say in art, right, and in philosophy, the aesthetics, how does it look, what colors are being represented. That's the colorful stuff that we see on the outside. But really, it's what's happening underneath the surface, and also the cultures that we're creating. So the cultures where we're not only representing the diversity through our skin color, but we're also talking about the things in our society that keep people apart. Mm-hmm. And that's where the gospel comes in, because the gospel will remind us that, in, I think it's in the book of Galatians, there's no Jew or Greek, right? No male or female, barbarian or Scythian, but that we're all one, and that God has removed the dividing walls of hostility. So that's something God has already done, and it's something that the church needs to learn how to live into.
I tell you what, I appreciate the fact that you're able and willing to take scripture and show us the relevance of it. You know, no Jew, no Greek, no Gentile, etc., and help us see that this is real. It's not something to just applaud when we hear someone read it during a church service, during a sermon, but how to really put it into play in our own lives, in our own churches.
That's right. And it's important, and it's a journey. I think that, as you mentioned, it's not something that we're doing because it's of social good, or it's something that sociology teaches us, right, about diversity. But really, these are kingdom values that we're talking about, that God is reconciling not only people to God, but reconciling people to one another, and using Paul's language of the church as the mosaic. So when people are having these conversations, when conflicts come about and we're able to peacemakers, then we see the kingdom of God at work.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Jose Humphreys is really, really sharing a wealth of real world information with us. Real world because we can take this information, put it into play. I want you all to be developing the courage and allowing yourselves to be inspired to really follow through as we listen to more from Pastor Jose Humphreys. He and I will be right back in just a few minutes.